So in our gospel lesson, we got a picture of a model for leadership that Jesus is trying to get across to the disciples, right? Do you remember, I remember this with Marvin the Martian and Bugs Bunny, but remember when he would come to him and say, "Take me to your leader." Remember that? What we see in Mark's gospel is a crisis of leadership. And we got to start to ask ourselves, well, who is our leader? Who would we take Marvin to if he has to see our leader? The disciples were with their leader, right? But in the conversation that we witness between James and John, it shows that their minds were very far away from where Jesus was. What they were saying reflected where their heads were. And then when the other 10 caught wind of it, I hope you heard that, James and John, what they caught wind of what James and John were talking about, what happened? They got angry, right? Why'd they get angry? Because they're like, I wanted to ask that first. They wanted to get in line. So yesterday, I was at the diocesan convention down in Tucson. And you do a lot of sitting when you're at a convention. And in the pews, that we were at a church, St. Philip's in the Hills. And we were sitting in the pews there. And staring back at me was the cover on their worship folder. And on it was that picture that you see, that you were handed when you came in. Please access that, because I'm going to talk about some things on that. They had a worship folder that they distributed for people, and this was on the cover of it. This is an icon. You know what an icon is? Yes? No? Icons, they're mostly something that's used in Eastern Christianity. But this particular icon, if you're looking at it, you'll notice there's some very interesting script on it. At the very top, you see that top left-hand corner, it looks like an I and what looks like might be a letter C, right? That's an abbreviation for the name Jesus. That is the first and last letter in Greek for Jesus' name, Jesus, okay? On the upper right-hand corner, you see that chi, and it ends in that sigma. It's called a cognate sigma. It's an abbreviation for Christ, the first and last letter. That's the way they would do it back in those days. You know how we abbreviate words? Their way of abbreviating them was to put the first and the last letter, and then they put a little line over it. And that's why you see that ornate squiggly line above Jesus' name there. So that's what it's saying there, Jesus Christ. And you see the halo on our figurine there? And it looks like on the left side, it looks like a number zero, right? That's actually an omicron. That's a Greek letter, omicron. Above his head, what looks like a W, that's actually an omega. And then the other one on the other side of his head, it looks like the letter N. Okay, that's the Greek letter that's actually N. That is a sentence that says, "He who is." So, we have actually a whole sentence here. Jesus Christ, he who is. And then we get to the Greek script that you see to the right and left of him. On the left-hand side, you'll see it starts with looks like a number O, and then a pi, an alpha, and an N, and then a T. Do you see that T has, it looks like it turns into an O at the bottom. Did you see that? That's the first half of the word Pantocrator. Panto. We use the word pan to mean all, like pandemic, all right? We all know the word pandemic. Well, this is where you get that word pan from, is from Greek. The first letter, the O, there, the Omicron is just a definite article. On the right hand side, or yeah, on the right side, you know, on Jesus' left side, it says Krator. Okay, that's a Kappa, Rho, Alpha, Tau, Omega, Rho. Pantokrator. Pantokrator is the Greek translation of what we have in the Hebrew Bible that's usually translated as God Almighty or Lord of Hosts. Okay, so this particular icon is a classic in the realm of iconography because of the fact that each icon has its own particular, it's like its own spirit, its own so its own thing, right? And you can find a lot of different manifestations of this. So the whole line there, Jesus Christ, the one who is all powerful. Okay, that's what we have there, and I'm not going to go into what's in that open that on that book, but it's the light of the world passage from John. If you're wondering, like, whoa, what's that? Anyway, my brain had a lot to do while I was sitting there at the convention, and it just kept staring back at me. But icons are used for prayer, right? Well, I started just staring at this icon, and I was started thinking about my sermon for today, and I thought, oh. That's right in line with my sermon that I was like mostly done with it, right? I ended up rewriting it after I saw this. But Jesus Christ, he who is almighty, okay? In our gospel lesson, what we saw was a discussion on who Jesus is for the disciples, okay? We saw James and John thinking Jesus was their ticket to power, right? So if you're going to think of Jesus as Pantokrator, you know, all-powerful, you could possibly go in that direction, right? And think, kind of like a celestial Santa Claus, right? Or a celestial Superman or whatever, right? It's like, oh, we want to get in on that. Well, James and John demonstrate a pitfall that still exists today in the church. We also can have our heads in the wrong place if we find ourselves close to Jesus, we can actually have our heads a long ways away from him. That's what was going on with James and John. The disciples give us an unfortunate yet helpful example of something that is still quite common today. The people who are most publicly religious, who blatantly flaunt their Christianity as a source of power, as a power play in life, are really unwittingly actively opposed to the kind of life and lifestyle that Jesus Christ advocated, that he lived and ultimately died for, right? Now, the 12 that we call disciples, these were the ones who were closest to Jesus. They weren't any more in tune with Jesus than the rocks and the trees around him, right? What we see here is a very dire warning to us and ourselves about how we can become surreptitiously identified with movements, thoughts, philosophies, and yes, political ideologies that don't share the values that Jesus did. Movements are among us that dote on our fears. Ideas get promulgated in the media that play on our lower selves, and we tend to celebrate personalities and political personages that repeat these tropes, much to the delight of our reptilian brain. We become like that proverbial rat in the Skinner box. Remember that from biology class, from behavioral psychology class, actually not biology, where it would tap the thing to give it pleasure, and it would never stop because as you kept tapping that thing, it would gave him as much as it wanted, and he ended up dying from it, right? Because of the fact that he had no self-control. That's the way we are with that kind of thing out there. This is where we stand with political allegiances. They've become a replacement I believe, for our true Christian sensibilities. So, what does true Christian leadership look like? Well, what did Jesus tell the disciples at the very end? He said, you know, the Gentiles and those among them recognize their rulers and they lord it over them and they're tyrants about it. But it is not so with you. Whoever wishes to become great must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. Jesus is trying to teach a radical departure from the way that power was thought of in that day and age. The bottom line is this: people who aspire to leadership positions, though, they tend to have egos that like to be stroked. We've got to be vigilant against personalities that appeal to us on bases where Jesus simply does not stand. We must look ourselves in the mirror and get honest, and maybe even brutally honest with ourselves, about how maybe we've actually found ourselves co-opted into falling for demagoguery. For we who call ourselves Christians, we have a clear model of what leadership looks like. Right here. This is our leader, okay? Take me to your leader. This is him, right? We who call ourselves Christians have got to emulate the kind of leadership that Jesus taught, and we should be putting forth people in public office that do as well. Jesus is our Pantocrator. He is our Almighty. He is our example. And the more we practice this example, the more we actually can find ourselves, you know, not at the bad end of a corrective like James and John were. This icon, I invite you to just to take it home. You know what you're supposed to do with something like this? You're supposed to use it for prayer. If you have a prayerful mindset and you cast your eyes on this, your eyes will start to be drawn to certain things. I was really surprised. I hadn't done this in years when I saw this at St. Philip's yesterday. But I invite you, meditate on what it means for Jesus to be your leader. Meditate on what it means for us to actually reward that kind of leadership in public offices as well. May God grant us grace to be vigilant in this sacred duty that we share. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.